On the mountaintop, we are overwhelmed by God's presence. In the wilderness, we are overwhelmed by His absence.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
We come this morning, our Heavenly Father, to give you praise and honor and glory. We give thanks for these wonderful days that we have. Today, the sun's shining. Tomorrow, it might snow. But we can live with that because you give it to us. You give us every day. And we give thanks and give praise for that. Guide us in this time of worship that we can give you the honor and glory that is so worthy of your name. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain, stay there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the teachings and the commandments I have written for the people's instruction." Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the leaders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are here with you. Take all your disagreements to them." So Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered it, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a raging fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain. He stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Now some times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. Humbly our hearts to God, stay from the chase we ride. Seek the way to
our pastor Cindy had asked some time ago, can you come and fill the pulpit on the Sunday that I'm going to be on a walk to Emmaus? So I says, okay, I'll do that. The title of the message today is Where God and People Meet. And it revolves around what you just heard in the Old Testament. And the New Testament reading then goes into Matthew 17, beginning at verse 1 through verse 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Peter, you know who Peter was, right? The impulsive one? Lord, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll make three dwellings. He was going to make it good. Make a statue, if you will, for here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have gone on a retreat? And what is a retreat? How would you identify a retreat? You get away from the normal. What's normal? Now, those of you that are retired, what's normal? Yeah, it depends what the day is, which day it is. But there's always something going on. In a retreat, you pull away from that altogether, and you're totally in a different setting. And as you pointed out, it's a chance to look inward. Where do I stand? What do I think? How does the Lord work with me? Many retreats can have a mountaintop experience. How many of you have been on a walk to Emmaus? Now, Cindy's going on it this weekend. Have any of you been on a walk to Emmaus? I don't see any hands. Nobody's shaking their heads yes or no. Nobody's been there, apparently. A walk to Emmaus is a retreat. It is a three-day course in Christian living. It can be and has been for many people a mountaintop experience, similar to the experience that Moses had when he went up the mountain and saw God himself. It causes the people to look inside and say, what am I called to do? What is God calling me to do? There are, in the course of the time, I don't know, did anybody ever talk to you about what an Emmaus walk is? Well, you've had the discussion, so you know that there's 15 talks, and there's clergy and laity, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I won't go over all that. I can go all that. Karen and I both have been on what they called Chrysal, which was before Walk to Emmaus. And so we had been on that, and we came into Indiana, and we got hooked up with the Emmaus community. So we've been a part of that. That's how we got to meet Cindy. When she went on her walk, that's been a number of years ago. The walk to Emmaus is a unique experience for every person, as any retreat for someone going on a retreat is going to be a very unique experience for you. If Bill goes on a retreat, he's not going to have the same experience that Jane will, or any of the rest of you. If you go on a walk to on a retreat, it's going to be unique to you. Why is that? It's your relationship with God. It's not anybody else's. It's not John's relationship with God. I can't identify with that. It's only my relationship with God. So any retreat you go on, so the experience, that's one of the reasons you go on a retreat, is for the experience. You learn about yourself. You learn about where does God intersect with me in my daily walk. Now, it was a unique experience for Moses too, wasn't it? When he went up the mountain, did he have any idea what was going to happen when he went up Mount Sinai? What had God told him? Why did Moses go up the mountain? He went up the mountain because God called him and said, "Hey, Moses, come on up the mountain with me. I'm going to give you the tablets that are going to teach the people of Israel how to live, the Ten Commandments." He made those tablets. God made them with his finger. He wrote the words. And Moses went up the mountain to get them. Now, if you go back into where we were reading, Moses said, well, there's Aaron and Hur are back with the rest of the Israelites, and they can judge anything that needs to be judged. Well, how did that work out? Not well. What happened? They made a golden calf. Aren't we just that way? We get ourselves away from where we're supposed to be, and what do? We go follow along that direction. We get off track. That's what they did. Moses left them down there in the, he thought the capable hands of Aaron and Hur, and next thing you know, they've got a golden calf. Now, Moses came down the mountain. What did he do? He got mad and broke the tablets. He had made a second trip up the mountain, then he had to go up and get them again. And that is the way, you know, when you go on a retreat and you feel like you looked at yourself and you've got a new idea of who you are. When you come home, now you have to still continue to practice that. That's where the challenge comes. You know, every one of us that have been on a walk to Emmaus or any other retreat that has been a high point in our lives, when we come home, what happens? The washer breaks. Something else goes wrong. Or in my case, you know, two guys call in sick the same day when you got work for six. And all of a sudden, you're faced with the world's problems. And you forget where you were there and why you were there. That you looked inward and you saw God in your life. Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus. And Peter, the impulsive, says, okay, we'll build some tents. We'll make tents for each of you. Was that what Jesus wanted them to do? No, we aren't to be worshiping tents. We aren't to be worshiping statues. We worship God. We worship Jesus Christ as his son, our Lord and Savior. So Jesus said, no, no. And then about that time, God came out of the cloud, and what did he do? He told them, hey, this is my son. Listen to him. Do what he says. And what did the disciples do? Whoop, they're out. They, you know, and any of us, if we ever heard a voice from God directly, if God came into the sanctuary today and spoke directly, what would we all do? We come to church expecting to get a message from God every Sunday, don't we? But if God actually walked in and gave us a message, what would we do? Have we prepared ourselves for that? Have we prepared ourselves before we came to church to hear a message from God today? Many of us, and particularly when you had kids at home, it was just enough to get here. You know, we were working to get everybody around. But we are to prepare ourselves to come in and hear the message. So the first thing we got to do when we go on a retreat is a unique experience. Now, I can go on and share a little bit about Karen's call to ministry. Karen's call to ministry came through a walk to Emmaus. She was serving on the team and a walk to Emmaus. This has been now 27 years ago. She had been struggling with what should she do with her life. Karen is by trading, is a teacher. She was an elementary school teacher. She and I had gotten married after both of us had been married before, and she was still struggling. Okay, what am I going to do? We got involved in a church at Goshen, and we were heavily involved in that. She'd worked with Vacation Bible School and all the things that normal people do with, you know, as lay people. She went to the walk to Emmaus, and for her, even being on team, you get yourself into a retreat mode. So she began to look at herself. What am I gifted to do? What can I do? What should I do? What should I be doing to serve the Lord? She had become similar to what you have, a song leader at what we had an early service at St. Mark's in Goshen, and she'd gotten involved in that. And so she was song leading every week and was involved in that. She was doing some lay speaking, as I do. But she said, I just feel like I need to be doing more. When she came home from the walk to Emmaus, there was a radiance about her that I could see. That was kind of unique. For me, it was a nice experience because I got to see it. But she came home with a radiance that she knew what she was going to do, which was go back to seminary, go back to school, and get her master's in divinity. And she did. A lot of things worked out. The Lord worked a lot of things out for us. The seminary was in Elkhart. We lived in Goshen. It was about 8 miles away. So she applied to that seminary, got in, and went there then for 3.5 years. To get her master's in divinity, and then was ordained. And she went through the two-step ordination. Those of you that have been around the Methodist Church a long time, remember that there's a two-step. You ordained a deacon, then you were ordained an elder. So she went through that two-step ordination. So that's how she got into where she is. And that was strictly from a mountaintop experience, that she went there and the Lord touched her while she was there. And she came home, and you could just tell she knew what she was going to do. And for the last 26 years, that's what she's done. And she still enjoys it. For the last 6 months, that's what she made the decision when she retired. I'm not going to do any pulpit supply for 6 months. And she was faithful to that. I went up and did pulpit supply over at First Church in Bluffton one Sunday because they called and asked her. And she said, no, I'm not going to. I said I was going to wait 6 months. Now, when Harold called and asked her to do it in January, now the 6 months were over. So she's enjoying it to a degree. She says, now, I'm not ready to take a church again So she says, I'm not ready to be the full-time pastor of a local church anymore. I've done that, but she enjoys going in and doing pulpit supply. So she's doing that right now. We'll see where that leads us next. Okay, what is some of the other things that happen when you are on a retreat? The revelation from God that you are to be at peace with everybody around you. That's one of the other things that comes out of a retreat, is that you have a revelation from God many times. You're going to get a revelation of what you should be doing. That's what Karen got. She got a revelation that she should be in ministry. She should be out serving the churches. That was her gift. What did Peter, James, and John get? They got a revelation, didn't they? They got a revelation so bad that they fainted. But at the same time, they heard the voice of God say, listen to him. He is my son. But they heard the voice of God. That was their revelation, wasn't it? Quite a revelation. They were so fearful that they just fainted. Now, how did they wake up? Jesus goes over and says, hey, boys, it's time to wake up. And he told them. Then what came after that is really, I think, interesting. A retreat will give you direction. Where are you going to go next? For us, Karen and I, that was a challenge for us because we were both working at the time when she went on that retreat. We were working in Goshen. I was working for a plumbing company in Goshen, and she was working for a car dealership. So then we said, okay, if this is going to happen, we're going to go to ministry. You're going to go to school. We both have been living on what we've been working with, as we all do. All of a sudden now we said, whoa, how is this going to work? The Lord had that planned out too. She had a church up at Scott, which is up north by Shipshawana, that took her under her wing, under their wing, and they helped her financially all the way through seminary. And not a request on her part, but a request from them to just help. They heard about Karen going on this again. The pastor that was serving at that church had been on the retreat, so she knew Karen had felt the call to ministry. And they had some money stashed aside, and they helped with that. So they helped. That was for us a gift of God. When she started into seminary and when she finished, we were no further in debt than when she started. Now, not many pastors can say that, because many of the pastors come out of seminary deep in debt. Karen came out no worse off. We were still just as comfortable as we were when she went in. So we were really blessed, but the Lord had worked all that out for her to go into ministry. So then her direction was, now, where do you go? She chose that she was going to be in the pulpit ministry doing serving churches. And she has served churches ever since. Her first church that she served was in Uniondale, not far up the road. Many of you know where Uniondale was. We went in up to Arcola Lake Chapel, which is up by Hilger's Farm Market, where Hilger's Farm Market used to be. Is it still there? Not really. Is it anymore? I don't think so. Anyhow, she served up there. Then we served down at Daleville, exit 32, down at by Muncie. And then the move from there after that was to Akron, Indiana. So we served at Akron, Indiana. Then from there, we went down to Thorntown. Now, fortunately, in all of those moves, I kept driving back and forth, because when we were at Uniondale, I had to have something to do. I'd been working for a plumbing company in Goshen, and okay, what am I going to do? Well, I was going to start my own plumbing company, and that's what I actually did. I started Uniondale Plumbing, Heating, Electric. But then we turned around and went to buy some parts, and the people that owned Bluffton Plumbing called up and says, we need you to buy us. We're in trouble. So I ended up buying Bluffton Plumbing, Heating, Electric, and I still operate under the corporation of Uniondale. We formed a corporation in Uniondale, but we bought the other company, and we've done that now for 25 years, and the Lord has provided for us very well. So going back to the retreat direction, when Moses came down from the mountain, did he have a direction? He did, really. He had the tablets, right? He was going to be leading the people, giving them tablets. This is the commandments that God gave you to do. What happened? He got mad, as some of us do, because the people had gone so far astray from everything they were supposed to be doing. Aaron and Hur hadn't been able to keep them corralled in. So he said, okay, well, we got it. So then he threw the tablets, broke them, had to go back and get them. But his direction continued to be firm that he led the people back to the promised land. And he did. However, and this is, kind of ironic in some sense, he could never go into the promised land. Remember that? He could never go into the promised land. He could go see it, go up in the high mountain. He doubted God. At that time, Christ wasn't available yet, so he doubted God. And that's what cost him his trip into the Promised Land. But he's also the only one who never was, that man didn't have to bury him. God took care of that. He went with God, and he didn't get into the Promised Land. When the Peter, James, and John, when they saw what was going on, what did Jesus tell them about this whole transfiguration experience? Don't tell anybody. Why? Until after his death. Why do you suppose he said that to them? Would you believe it? Jesus knew the people themselves. He knew that the people would not believe that what Peter, James, and John had seen, that Jesus was transfigured, that Jesus was talking to Moses and Joshua, Moses and Elijah, that he was actually talking to people that were dead hundreds of years. They wouldn't believe that until after Jesus was crucified and arose again. Now, those of us 2,000 years later, some of us have trouble. What do you mean Jesus arose again? He died. He couldn't arise again. But those of us that believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior know that he did. And we have to then continue to share that message around the world, in the community of Van Buren. Share that wherever we come across people, that Jesus Christ is alive today. Do you believe it? Amen. But anyhow, Jesus told them not to let the world beat you down. Don't tell the world until after I've been resurrected. However, do we always stay on the mountaintop? There's some downers, aren't there? Yes, there are some downers. And many of us have seen it and know it. How many of you remember the story of Dave Dravecki? Dave Dravecki was a pitcher in the major leagues and developed cancer in his shoulder. And he thought he was going to be able to make a comeback. And he said, he was looking back and he had learned that wilderness is part of the landscape of faith. And every bit as essential as the mountaintop. And that is, I think, true. On the mountaintop, we are overwhelmed by God's presence. In the wilderness, we are overwhelmed by his absence. And God is absent sometimes when we're in the wilderness, isn't he? He will be away from us. Both places should bring us to our knees. The one in utter awe, the other in utter dependence. When you're in the wilderness, you can only depend on God. That's all that's left to depend on. And when things go really bad, and I can imagine some of the rest of you have had those experiences. I could name some, but I won't. I know a little about some of you, but I don't know enough about all of you to say that, you know, I can understand what you've been through. Karen and I went through some of those wilderness too, and that has happened. Some of them are not worth talking about anymore. At the time, they were. But at the time, we were driven to our knees and said, all we can do is be in faithfulness to God. That's all you can do. When things like that happen, they do happen. Bill, when he was diagnosed and told you had to have open heart surgery, that wasn't a high mountaintop experience, was it? When they came and told me that they said they found prostate cancer, that wasn't a mountaintop experience. But at the same time, you did the same thing I did. You just said, okay, we got to do what we got to do. Let's do it. And you did. And I did. And I've been very well blessed since. So far, it looks like you are too. We all can only draw upon that mountaintop experience when we're in the valley. And we have to remember that that mountaintop experience is there. We just have to draw on it and put our faith in it. We can't live on the mountaintop. It just isn't possible to always be that high. Now, some people will say to me, why are you always so happy? And my people that work with me are just always amazed. I've gone to work for the last 25 years as I've owned that company, and I always come in the morning, and I'm always happy. That's the way I start my day. Some of them come to work, and they're grumbling and growling, and they're hardly awake. I come to work, and I'm charged up. And that's just the way I am. Some people like it, some people don't. So you got to be around that. But we always can remember to give thanks for the experience of being on the high and live on that high and draw from it. Go to the mountaintop to be refreshed, renewed, and revitalized. It empowers us to go forth and spread the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the mountaintop does for us. So now we go forth and spread that mountaintop around. Now, when Cindy comes back, we'll want to give her the encouragement that she's probably been on a mountaintop experience. On the walk to Emmaus is a mountaintop experience, even if you've been on it before. Because every time you go, you come away revitalized, refreshed, and renewed. So we want to, you know, encourage Cindy as she goes forth leading us. So let us close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for the mountaintop experiences that each of us have experienced. And then we want to remember that valleys will come and that you will be with us, you will walk with us, you will guide us, you will lift us up and carry us as we go forth to the next mountaintop experience. Watch over us now and guide us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let us go forth, remembering the mountaintop experiences, and go forth to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior. For we give thanks in His name. Amen.
The church is one foundation.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.